I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Dylan Barnes.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and thejournal.com. This is a thing of beauty, isn't it, Dylan? Look at that.
Yeah.
It finally came out. All came together. Love it when a plan comes together. You know where that what show that's from, Dylan?
I do not.
It's because you're young.
Yes.
And don't know things. The A-Team, man. The original. The football tab. Yeah, it's here. It came out Sunday. If y'all didn't get a copy, you need to get a copy. We also have an online version of it, which is pretty nifty. You can look at all the team previews, features, players to watch, rankings, and all that fun stuff. So, yeah, good job to good job by Lee Smith and John Pitts putting it all together. I think it was mostly Lee, but, yeah. Always satisfying, Dylan, when this thing is done and it comes out and you're like, I don't see any major mistakes.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the best part.
There's a bunch of eyes on that thing before it went to press. So
yes,
plenty
a lot.
Of eyes and to make sure that, you know, we didn't screw something up too bad. So
right. So anyway, welcome in everybody to Prep Rally. Hey, 2 weeks in a row we've had a podcast. We're gonna try to keep the streak going. As long as sports keep going, we're gonna keep going. If you haven't listened to us before, well, obviously you found a way to listen to us, but there are multiple ways to tune in. Of course, we're in iTunes, pretty much any of your podcast apps, and we're also online at preprally.djournal.com, and you'll want to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps for updates on all things high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. We got a packed show, Dylan. Boy, I almost called you Dalton. It's going to happen at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take it. It's a compliment.
It's
shout out to Dalton.
Partly because I hosted this with him for so long, but also because your names are very similar.
Yes, very.
So, yeah. Just ignore me if it happens. But, yeah, football is back. Let's jump into it. My man, we actually had a little bit of action last weekend. Most of the scrimmages got rained out, but you were at Amory Moorville, which got some rain, but they got their their two quarters of football in. And Amory, you know, despite missing some people, their offense looked like we expected them to look, didn't they?
Yeah, you mentioned it there. I kind of felt like I got cheated. I've been, you know, kind of my first football assignment for, you know, moving up to Tupelo and stuff, and been hearing so much good things about Amory, and I was so excited to go over and see them and see what their offense is like. And lo and behold, I get there and it's okay. Charleston French is out, Braxton Griffin's out, James Spratt's out, and it's like three of their better weapons. And so I was like, okay, well, now I'm got to temper my expectations. And then, sure enough, Hunter Jones, 4-year starter quarterback, and Jay Hampton, they just kind of linked up for two different touchdowns against Moorville in two quarters, and they looked really, really impressive.
Yeah.
And, you know, French is their running back, and even the Brownlee, they had a sophomore, I think his name's Isaiah Brownlee. He had like 64 yards on 13 carries, and he's just a sophomore, you know, just like French is too. So
right.
They're just like I felt like they had about 150 kids on their sideline too. They're just for a 3A school. They're so deep. And like I said, I didn't get to see the full weaponry of their offense.
Right.
But they're definitely going to put up a ton of points this year and be really, really tough to stop.
Well, hopefully all those guys will be healthy pretty quick.
For sure.
But, yeah, Moorville, I don't know what kind of impression you got from them. I know they got a pretty decent quarterback.
Yeah, Dawson Phillips, he can really sling it, man. He made several impressive throws. That Moorville, I guarantee, I told Coach Jimmy Young after the game, I said, I bet I can count on one hand how many times you actually lined a running back up in the backfield. They kind of just go five wide and kind of, you know, throw the pill around a little bit. And Phillips can actually do, he threw for over 2,500 yards or something last year. And you know, the biggest thing for him is, you know, trying to cut down on his turnovers from a season ago.
Right.
And, you know, he actually threw an interception on their second drive to Jay Hampton, of course, and he's, you know, kind of just making plays everywhere over there. But other than that, he did a really good job protecting the ball. He made some really nice throws, and there's actually a for sure touchdown there late in the first quarter that was just dropped. A wide open receiver just dropped it right in the back of the end zone. So, you know, then I talked to Coach Young, like I said, after the game, and he was saying, hey, we got five brand new receivers. They lost Kaysom Mitchell and some of those guys from Moorville last year, some of those really good athletes, and he's like, well, you know, we've got five new guys out there lining up, and he's like, you know, we're going to have to work on some little things and stuff, and, you know, and especially coming up because they got Kossuth this week. So,
right.
You know, they want to try to start the season on the right foot. And like I said, Phillips is going to be fine. That offense, I think, will be able to still be put up points. And another name, I didn't even mention it, but Jordan Franks on defense.
Yeah,
popping some heads over there. He was like, the pads were popping. He looked like he was probably the most excited kid on the field as far as football being back, because he was just hitting everything that moved. And he actually had an interception that set up Morville's only score of the game. So, you know, so Jordan Frank, shout out to you, because you were you caught my eye. So there you go.
Good deal. All right. Well, let's look ahead now, Dylan. To the week one games, well, week one for MHSAA schools. Academies have been playing for a couple of weeks, but most of our schools are MHSAA, and, man, we get to start with a good one, a big rival game, West Point at Starkville. I went and looked, and best I can tell, this is the first time they've ever opened the season against each other, which they wouldn't have happened, obviously, if not for COVID. Those first two games got canceled, but still, that's a heck of a way to start the year. You're four-time defending 5A state champs against Starkville, a powerhouse in 6A every year, and have maybe the best quarterback in the state in Luke Altmaier. And so that's going to be a heck of a fun game. And one guy, though, I would tell you to watch for, and, you know, West Point does this every year, a guy that you've never heard of just comes out of nowhere and just tears it up. And we've seen it over and over again. And this year, that guy is going to be, potentially, Jacoby Pate, the new running back. You know, they lost a lot of production last year. I think they had three guys last year that ran for more than 800 or 900 yards, including Brandon Harris, the quarterback. And so Jacoby Pate going to be a running back. I mean, I'm sure you'll see him probably take some Wildcat snaps as well. They do that a lot. So, you know, Starkville looks like on paper, with what they've got coming back, might be favored here, but you just expect West Point to reload, okay? They're going to be back in the mix this year in 5A, no doubt. Another game I think could be really good. Tupelo opening up way down there at Neshoba Central. Debut for a new Tupelo coach Ty Harden, formerly of Houston. And Neshoba Central, I mean, they're no slouch. They got this kid, running back Jarquez Hunter, rushed for over 2,000 yards last year, 29 touchdowns. I think he's a three-star prospect. He's getting some looks from SEC schools and got some offers from SEC schools. So you're going to see the Tupelo linebackers really tested, but they've got some good ones. Justin Wilson on the inside, Dalton Hughes on the outside. And so those guys will have to play well for Tupelo to kind of keep that Neshoba Central offense in check. Of course, on Tupelo's offense, you got Jake Ware coming off a great junior year. Completed 60% of his passes, 20 touchdowns, 9 picks, and supposedly, you know, the coaches tell me that he's a lot better this year, like even better than last year. So, you know, I'll be down there for that game. So I'm really, really curious to see what Jake can do, especially having lost his top two receivers from last year, Jacob Horn and Trip Wilson. New Albany at Pontotoc. You know, last year this was a shootout. I think the final was 44-42. New Albany, is that right? I think that's right.
Yeah, it was crazy.
New Albany, I think they can definitely put up some points again like that. I'm not sure about Pontotoc, but New Albany, of course, they have C.J. Hill. They have Isaiah Corrin, however you say it, at receiver. And he was hurt about half the season last year. And now they have A.I. Nugent, formerly of Myrtle. I've actually got something on him in tomorrow's prep notebook, the Thursday paper. You know, he was at New Albany through eighth grade, transferred to Myrtle as they were starting their football program, and then was their best player the first 2 years they had a varsity team. And over those 2 years, as running back, rushed for over 3,700 yards, 56 total touchdowns running the ball. Played great on defense, 122 tackles over that time. So he's going to be a starting outside linebacker for New Albany, and he'll split time in the backfield with C.J. Hill. Now, both these guys are about 5'9", 5'10", 220-ish. They're going to wear some people out.
Yeah.
Cody Stubblefield said AI's got a little more wiggle to him than C.J., but
yeah. It doesn't really feel like one of those lightning and thunder type of situations. It feels more just like thunder and thunder. It's like, you know, you're going to get bowled over by CJ, and then they're just going to, like, put Nugent in, and he's just going to do the same thing to you, too. So there's not much of a drop-off there for sure.
Yeah, the New Albany PA just needs to play that AC/DC song when they come out on the field.
Yeah.
Thunder. I won't try to sing it.
Yeah.
So those are some of the big games. A few other games to watch this weekend. Of course, Hatley at Nettleton is a good Monroe County rivalry. You got Ripley at Boonville. Perry Lyles making his debut as Ripley head coach. Tupelo Christian at Biggersville. Good little 1A matchup. Shannon on the road at Noxubee County. And, of course, the season opens Thursday night with a Potts camp at Faulkner, which is where you'll be.
Yeah, I'll be there. Kind of back to my stomping ground, sort of similar to it, I guess.
Right.
But, yeah, Potts camps are – Faulkner, I should say, is, you know, entering year one with Jeff Anglin. We talked about all these debuts, these coaching debuts. And the coaching carousel was wild over this past all season.
Yeah,
so,
it was.
So Jeff Anglin getting his first taste as a head coach, getting a Faulkner team that went that won just two games last year. And he's, you know, going to have a tough task here getting Potts camp. They got Joshua Blake back, the quarterback from last year. And he's not, you know, much of a thrower, but he's definitely a threat with his legs. And they got another – Potts camp also has a running back that's Dakota Moore. He's 215 pounds, and he's a load, you know, when you think about it on the 1 and 2A level.
Right.
215-pound running backs, those are pretty tough to stop, but really on any level, but especially there, because usually 250-pound kids are on your offensive line.
Exactly, at that level, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, Potts camp's going to be, you know, definitely be a challenge, but we'll see if Faulkner's up to it.
There were supposed to be two Thursday night games, but COVID – still wreaking havoc with football teams. Mantachie was supposed to play Smithville Thursday. So Mantachie players tested positive for COVID. So they had to cancel that game. And then some Smithville players tested positive just a few days ago. So not only so they're already going to miss this one anyway, but now they're going to miss next week's game against Noxapater, which was a division opener.
Yeah,
I mean,
I believe Smithville was actually trying to reschedule since once they found out Mantachie was not going to be able to play, Smithville was scrambling trying to find an opponent, and then here they go, you know,
right,
and you know, get a couple cases as well, and now they're, like you said, done the first week and then miss their first division game. So that's unfortunate for sure.
And then, of course, I think as we've discussed before, last week, Saltillo cannot play this week because they had some guys test positive about a week and a half ago, thereabouts. So they were supposed to open with Itawamba AHS. So, yeah, COVID, man, this is going to keep – I don't see how this doesn't keep happening. You're going to see teams have their get – and it's going to be worse as you get into the middle of the season in division play. Then you get teams possibly missing two division games. Mm-hmm. I mean, already Smithville is missing one against Noxapater. So it's – I don't know, man. I just hope we make it through the season somehow.
For sure. I don't know how that stuff works. I don't know how lenient the state will be as far as, like, maybe, you know, Smithville and Noxapater trying to cancel a non-division game and be able to schedule in the same week, you know, make – You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't know how that works. And,
well, technically, you're not supposed to be able to make up any games that get canceled now, unless you happen to have an open date at the same time. Otherwise, it's not doable.
Yeah, and I didn't know, you know, if 2020 being the year that it is, if it makes exceptions, because we've had to make exceptions, it seems like, for everything. So,
well,
I don't know.
Who knows? I mean, heck, they're going to have to move the football championships now because the SEC schedule got reconfigured. And so those games were supposed to be played December 4th and 5th at Mississippi State, but now Mississippi State is hosting Missouri that weekend. So they're either going to have to change venues or find another date to play.
Yeah.
Maybe push it back. If they push it back a week, then suddenly you have a little wiggle room in the schedule.
Yeah, that would be so smart, in my opinion. Just push it back a week. You can still hold it at the same venue. Like, you know, because, you know, those kids love playing in Oxford and Starkville and Hattiesburg.
Right.
You know, they like doing that. So let's keep doing that. But, you know, you push it back a week and give them kind of what the SEC's doing. For their football, for college football, they're given an extra week before the SEC championship game. For you, basically have like just a week where if COVID becomes an issue between a game, you can move that game to the back end of the schedule.
Yeah,
and you know, and hopefully play your full 10-game schedule that they have. So you know, to me that would be smart, but you know, they don't pay me the bucks in Jackson to make those decisions. I'm just here. So
hopefully we'll find that out within the next few days. Okay, let's switch gears here and talk some volleyball. We both went out to matches, earlier this week, Dylan. I saw Pontotoc at New Albany, and, man, that was a thriller. Went all five sets, and Pontotoc playing from behind, like, the whole night. Dropped the first set, won the second, dropped the third, came back and won the fourth after falling behind for a little while there in the fourth. And then they came from behind in the fifth. They were down at 1.8-2 and then 13-9. And, you know, in the fifth set, they only played at 15. But then they ended up scoring the last 6 points of that set to win 15-13. So, Pontotoc is our fourth-ranked team that went and improved them to 3-0. They played again Tuesday night. I think they probably won. I haven't checked. Haven't had a chance. Yeah, but they played South Ponotok, so probably so. But yeah,
Ponotok, yeah, they won 3-0.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So there you go. So they're 4-0 now. But anyway, but the thing about Ponotok, I mean, they had some really. I told Coach Andy McGregor after the match, I was like, man, y'all look like Jekyll and Hyde, because sometimes they just looked awful, and then other times they just looked. Everything was suddenly clicking, you know, because they had a really tough time getting the front line set offensively and getting the ball to them so they could, you know, go for the kill. And but then they got better at that in the second set, and they kind of went back and forth. And but they got some really good players, you know, up front, like, of course, Deja Browner. Yeah. I hope I said that right. And she didn't even have that great a match. Yeah. But then you had Samaya Brooks, who did. I can't talk today. Samaya Brooks. You had Audrey Hamill, mm-hmm. played really well. You had the you had the Nowicki girl. Now I forgot her first name. My apologies, Miss Nowicki. But you know what? New Albany played well. I mean, you consider the fact they lost Greta Blakemore, one of the best players in the area, moved to Kentucky this past summer. I mean, she would have been a player of the year candidate for us. So they're a different-looking team. They're more defensive-minded. And, you know, Ashley Connolly, the coach, told me after the game, yeah, we lost, and she was not happy about it, but she thought that they had proved a point that, you know, we can play with what we have. We don't, you know, we don't need anybody else, and yeah. So we'll be fine.
Well, they proved that point to me, because like, I was keeping up with your updates from afar, and I was one of those people that, you know, the New Albany girls were probably talking about as far as mm-hmm. and Coach Connolly, what she was talking about is I was kind of looking at New Albany, knowing they lost Greta, knowing what they lost last year from last year's state runner-up team, and I was just kind of like, they're probably not going to – they might win a set here or so against Pontotoc, but Pontotoc's going to – you know, they brought a lot back, so I just assumed that it would be kind of, you know, either 3-0, 3-1 type of match, but no, New Albany really kind of stayed in it, and so they definitely proved the point to me that, like, you know, no matter what they've lost, they've kind of got a program built there that's going to sustain success.
And they went to the 4A finals last year, so they're, you know, they know how to win.
Exactly.
Okay, these girls that are coming back know how to win. Okay, Kinsley Nowicki, that's her name.
Yeah, there you
okay.
go.
Sorry, Kinsley.
We got you in now.
Old man brain got me there for a second. And then your match, Dylan Ingemar and West Union. Ingemar just its second year as a program, West Union as well. But Ingemar is 5-1, and they got mm-hmm. this girl, eighth grader. She's pretty good, huh?
Yeah, well, I think she kind of made her name known last year as a seventh grader, more for basketball. You know, she was right. a starter on the Ingemar team that kind of took everybody by surprise in the 1A girls playoffs and made mm-hmm. it to the second or third round there. And I think it was quarterfinals they made it too. And
yeah, they did pretty well.
So, you know, she, you know, you're looking at all those young girls that they had out there, and you saw that blonde-headed girl there, and she was. You know, like, well, what grade is she in? She's in seventh grade, and she was putting up 12, 15 points or whatever. And it was like, wow, okay, she's going to be good. Well, then you get into volleyball season here, and now she's an eighth grader. She's gotten taller. She's she's the best outside hitter Ingemar has. And Coach Andy Wilbanks there, he's my cousin. Shout out to Andy. he was telling me last night, he's like, you know, that's what we want with our offense. We try to get her the ball as much as possible, and she had 12 aces, 12 kills in four sets last night against West Union.
Did you mention her name yet?
Macy Pfeiffer.
Macy Pfeiffer.
I forgot to even say it. I was just I'm so like starstruck by her grade that she's in eighth grade and doing what she's doing. But Macy Pfeiffer. That's the name to know, because she's really good. And then, like I said, like their offense kind of flows through her. They try to set the ball to her as much as possible, because at that level, you know, there's not many people that's going to jump with her. And you know, her swing is just so smooth. Like, you know, she's not swinging it at the back line. She's swinging it straight down to the ground. And for a team to be in their second year or whatever, that's pretty impressive. So, and like I said, Ingemar off to a 5-1 start in their second year too. That's pretty impressive too, that you could tell. I saw them a couple times last year. You can just see how much they're growing, just the night and day difference it is too. So
Ingemar's
rolling right now.
All right, let's move on to this week's shout out. It goes to Saltillo cross country runner Madison Jones. Last Thursday, she committed to Mississippi State. The senior, of course, has been a key part of Saltillo's cross country team since she was in eighth grade, I guess. So yeah, she's been a part of the last four state championships they've won. They've won five in a row. She's been part of the last four. She's finished second. Individually, the past 2 years, and the girl she finished second to both times is probably the best runner in the state. And I can't pronounce her last name, but still, Madison, probably the best, arguably the best female runner in Northeast Mississippi, certainly up there. So congrats to her for signing with MSU. Let's wrap it up with, hey, Athletes of the Week. We haven't had this in forever.
Yeah, finally back.
Finally got some Athletes of the Week, man. Hadn't done that since, like, March. Okay, let's go with the female Athlete of the Week, Mia Griffin, Alcorn Central Volleyball. She was our 2019 Volleyball Player of the Year, the first Player of the Year we ever had for volleyball. Three pretty good matches over the past week. She had 10 kills, 3 aces, and 5 digs, and a 3-0 win over Tishomingo County on Thursday. And then this week on Monday, she had 19 kills, 5 aces, and 8 digs, and a 3-1 win over Hardin County, Tennessee. And then Tuesday, 15 kills, 6 aces, and 10 digs, in a 3-1 win against Ripley. So she's off to a fine start there for Alcorn Central. Male Athlete of the Week, we talked about him a while ago, Hunter Jones, the quarterback for Amory against Morville in that scrimmage on Friday. 10 of 12 passing for 138 yards, 2 touchdowns, and in the 17-7 win against Morville. And that is all the time we have for this episode of Prep Rally. Thanks for tuning in. And, hey, the football preview show is coming back. We're doing it today. Mm-hmm. In fact, by the time y'all listen to this, it'll have already been on Facebook Live, which after this week, I think we're going to do a higher production deal with it. It's going to be not Facebook Live. We'll tape it, and one of our guys will dress it up nice, but he's out this week. So I'm going to keep it simple. But, yeah, look for that. We'll talk about some of the big games coming up this weekend. Just a reminder that you can catch this podcast on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. You can find Dylan on Twitter at
DylanB_810. I'm going to change that.
Yeah, you got to change
essentially
that.
Essentially, one day to make that much easier. Maybe just Dylan Barnes is available.
So. Yeah, we'll see. I'm on there at Brad Locke, and so give us a follow, and we will be back next Wednesday. See you then.